thank Larry and Ray for my behalf. We are truly followers of Christ. That comes with consequences in our life. It comes with trials, tribulations, persecutions, and maybe not so much as death, but being a Christian and a follower of Christ has consequences to it. And looking at this and looking at the Bible, they come from three sources. It may come from the world, it may come from our kinspeople, or it may come from those within the kingdom of God. And so, in our scripture reading, in Jude, it says to earnestly contend for the faith. Contend means to be a combatant, intensive, as if it's a contest. The word earnestly and contend comes from the same Greek word. Earnestly just simply describes the force with which we are to use in contending for the faith. But we all know we have something in common. Being a Christian is a job. It sometimes just takes its toll on us. We read of those in the Bible who were once contending for the faith because of these trials, became weary, and no longer walked with God. The scriptures are filled with verses of encouragement. Galatians 6 and verse 9, let us not grow weary while doing good. 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 13, do not grow weary in doing good. Romans 8 and verse 28, we know that all things work for good to those who love the Lord. In Psalms chapter 34 and verse 10, those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. And again, many more could be quoted, those words of encouragement that we so sorely need in our life. But the world beats us each day. Our kinsmen, if they're not Christians, takes a toll upon us. And even those within the church. And again, the Bible covers each one of these areas in our life. The world, our kinspeople, and the church. It beats us such each day that we cannot escape this, and sometimes it's hard for us to stay focused on what is right. We want to look at examples of some of the apostles. There was no difference than what we face today. They had the same problems. They were opposed by the Gentiles, the world. They were opposed by their fellow countrymen, and even some in the kingdom. And likewise, we today are opposed. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 8, we're oppressed hard on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed. And Bible says this to be in doubt or in distress. Paul says we are in distress on every side, but not in anguish. Distress which rises from that condition. What condition was Paul having reference to? In verse 9 he says, because we're persecuted. Therefore we are distressed on every side. And this is something that we all can relate to. The consequences of being a follower of Christ. Living a Christian life comes with challenges. Paul understood this. Peter understood this. We read in Galatians when Peter succumbed to the pressure of his fellow countrymen. In Galatians 2 and verse 12, Paul there records, for before a certain man came from James, he, Peter, would not eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those of his fellow countrymen, the circumcision. So even an apostle, an inspired person, that of being a follower of Christ has pressure. And sometimes we make the wrong decision. We become weary in following Christ. Yet the exhortation is that we are with intensive force to contend for the faith until the battle is done. Paul states, and this is what I want to base my lesson upon, in 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 13, I find no rest in my spirit. When you look at this, why did Paul make this statement? If you read there, when he came, he did not find his brother Titus. He said, because Titus is not here, I find no rest in my spirit. What purpose would Titus have served to the Apostle Paul? Needing comfort, encouragement, events in his life was taking a toll on Paul. Greg covered a lot of that in our Bible study this morning. Life takes toll on us at times today. Vine states the word rest means relief. Paul could find no relief from the persecutions, the trials that he was going through. And he asked, where is Titus, my brother? The encouragement that Titus could have helped him with. To find no rest from persecutions. Paul had left Ephesus in verse 12 to Troas, expecting to find his brother there. And it's a lesson for us today of how we need to assemble. We need this encouragement. If it's not there, we're going to succumb to the world because we're attacked from all sides. There's no escaping that in our life. Before he left Ephesus, Paul wrote these words in 1 Corinthians 16, verses 8 and 9. When Paul says that I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great and effective door has opened to me, and there are many adversaries. We're bombarded with adversaries today, from the world, from our kinsmen, and even within the kingdom of God. That we've got to battle it. But the effects of that door is stated in Acts chapter 19, verse 20, so the word of God grew mightily. Paul kept pressing on regardless of those many adversaries that he was faced. But yet he's recorded for us in 2 Corinthians that of his condition there when he said, I find no rest in my spirit. We look at Acts chapter 17, verse 30. In Paul's life, the Jews from Thessalonica learned that the word of God was preached by Paul at Berea. They came and stirred up the crowd. And Paul was constantly followed and persecuted by his fellow Jewish brethren, his kinsmen. At Iconium, in Acts chapter 14, verse 5, it states a violent attempt was made by both Jew, the world, and Gentile, the world and Jews, his fellow countrymen, with their rulers to abuse and stone them. Something Paul endured throughout his life and other apostles. The certainty of death. That they died. At Derbe, in Acts chapter 14, verse 19, then the Jews from Antioch and Iconium came, and having persuaded the multitude, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing that he was dead. It's something that Paul lived constantly in his life with. And therefore, where is Titus, my brother? If I find no rest in my spirit. It's something that drags us down each day that we deal with. From these three avenues in our life. At Philippi, Acts chapter 16, verse 23, when they had laid many stripes on them, Paul and Silas, they threw them in prison. These sufferings that Paul went through was told to Ananias by Christ in Acts chapter 9, verse 13, when he says, for I will show to him, Paul, how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. Even though prophesied that Paul was going to suffer many things, and we suffer as Christians today, it takes a toll on people. Those chosen by God, it took a great toll on. It caused Peter to sin, and others. It's something, like I said, we cannot constantly get away from the world, our kinspeople, and even those in the kingdom. Those are there. We're told this in 2 Peter 3 and verse 12, and all who live godly will suffer persecutions. Paul not only had a concern that he was suffering from the world and his kinspeople, Paul's concern, he also had a great concern for those congregations that he helped to establish or strengthen. In Galatians 1 verse 6, Paul says to Galatians, I marvel that you're so soon turning from him who called you. Paul had concern. It should be our concern today. But being concerned of what people are doing in the kingdom takes its toll on us. That here's our prayer. That you're turning from the gospel, you're following something else. And so it starts to take a toll on us. 3 and verse 1, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Churches of Christ do not follow the doctrine. And so it takes a toll in trying to correct that. And sometimes we grow weary in trying to do that. Ephesians 4 and verse 14, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried away by every wind of doctrine. Paul, in speaking to the church of Ephesus, he said, you don't need to be children, you're tossed here and there. So Paul's concern was great for those churches. And it takes a toll on them. I find no rest in my spirit. Paul's concern for the church at Philippi. Philippians 3 and verse 2. Which says there, beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the mutilation. He's referring to those Jewish teachers, those kinspeople. He calls them dogs. And Paul's warning, beware of them, is stated in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 15, when John says, but outside are dogs. He's referring to those who are outside of heaven. Beware of those who will cause you to miss heaven. This was Paul's concern. It should be our concern that any here, that we make sure we don't miss heaven. But sometimes people don't change. It becomes tiresome speaking to them. It becomes weary to us speaking to them. And so we give up. This was Paul's condition. I have no rest in my spirit. In Romans 15, verse 30, Paul begs the disciples there to strive together with me in prayers for me. Kevin and I was talking about prayer this morning, the prayer. Paul begged the church that you strive together with me in prayers for me, the apostle. If Paul understood the importance of prayer for him, one who wrote so much in the New Testament, why not prayer important today to us? Why did Paul request prayer? I find no rest in my spirit. The danger that Paul faced, the danger that we faced. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17, brethren, pray for us. Those who were causing Paul great distress, he's asking their prayers that he may continue his task that was assigned to him. Hebrews 13 verse 8, brethren, pray for us. Again, Paul knew the power of prayer and why he needed prayer of the brethren. And brothers and sisters in Christ, if Paul needed this prayer, one inspired of God, what does that leave you and I? Paul witnessed things we have not. Christ revealed himself to him. But Paul said, I have no rest in my spirit. If it takes the toll upon the great apostle Peter, and upon John, and upon Paul, what's the effect it's going to have on us? Paul had to deal with problems in the church, especially Corinth. Problems of division on whom to follow, sexual immorality, brethren going to law before the unrighteous, the Lord's Supper. These things weighed heavily on Paul's mind. Colossians 1 verse 9, Paul says, for this reason, brethren, since the day we heard it, do not cease praying for you. Paul not only requested prayers for himself, he also prayed for the churches because he knew the importance of that. Romans 1 verse 19, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. Why? Our spirits grow weak because of these constant bombardment, the consequences of being a follower of Christ. And again, why did he make this? He says, I find no rest in my spirit. Paul, in talking to the Ephesian elders in Acts chapter 20, stated his concern for the church there. He said, I've not shunned to declare the whole gospel. Reminded them to take heed to their oversight, the danger of savage wolves entering in, drawing away disciples, warning to watch. He stated this for 3 years to warn them day and night that they were constantly on Paul's mind. Their care, be it suffering persecutions. Consequences of being a follower of Christ, they're great. But yet that contend, be a combative, strive hard to continue that. But yet we read of these great men who that being that soldier of Christ took its toll off. Diotrephes was a great source of trouble to the church he was at and to the apostles in 3 John. He loved to have a preeminence. In other words, he strove to be first. There are those in the kingdom today exactly that. We have problems with him. And dealing with these people and battling with these people, it takes a toll on us. That we could become weary and we have no rest. Verse 10, John states, if I come, I will call to mind his deeds, which he does. Praying, the word praying means just talking nonsense. And there's many in the kingdom that just talks nonsense. But he said he's talking nonsense against us with malicious words. Again, John mentioned this, that he had problems there with the Diotrephes. Again, we all need prayers. We're attacked from the world, kindling, brethren, that we can make the statement, I find no rest in my soul. And you can further read 2 Corinthians 11, 23 through 28 of other trials and stuff that Paul went through. Turn, if you will, to 2 Corinthians 1, verse 7. So we battle these individuals each day, 7 days a week. They're there. They do not go away and will not go away until time is no more. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 7, Paul there says, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. If you have time, go back and study this verse, as well as some other verses that Paul relates to in 1 Thessalonians 4:15 through 17 and 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 8. But he says here the word rest means relief, that eventually relief is coming. He makes this mention for our encouragement, that relief will eventually get relief from the time that my fear will find no rest. Relief is coming. So we are to contend to that time when time is no more. But you are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Again, Vine states here the word rest. He says, and you can go back and read Vine's on this, okay? He says the word is not the rest to be granted to the saints. The word he is referring to here. But the divine retribution on our persecutors. We'll have rest from our persecutors if we contend for the faith and do not become weary in well-doing. He says, as in 1 Thessalonians 4:15, 16, when the appearing of Christ begins, that at which the persecutors will be punished is after judgment, not when Christ appears. Then, and then only then, we will have relief from our persecutors after judgment. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 8, and concerning this, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy the brightness of his coming, our persecutors. After judgment, they are going to be destroyed. And that's what he's talking about in 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 7. We're finally going to have relief of our spirit. No more battles. They will all be gone. His words of encouragement that we need to earnestly contend for the faith, to strive hard, to pray for one another. Because we all have something in common. Let us remember Paul's words in the end. After he endured all afflictions and pains of life, I have fought a good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. We earnestly contend for the faith. Do we pray for one another? Do we grow weary in well-doing? You have to answer these yourself. We see the importance of encouragement for one another, prayers for one another, assembling together for one another, because it's a constant battle. So many have started the race, and so many have fallen because they did not finish the race. And they're going to be judged on that. If you're here this morning, you're not a member of the kingdom of God. He has given instruction on how you can do that. They're stated in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, very plainly. Repent and be baptized. each one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You do not want to stand before God in judgment and not having obeyed that command. Because you will be with those who persecute Christians today in hell. If you're subject to the gospel call, we invite you to come together, we stand and sing.